Morning, everybody. Glad to see you made it safe. It's a little slushy out there. Let's turn to John chapter 3. Our subject's the new birth. We see here in John 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit." So our Lord tells us here that before we can behold Christ and enter into him by faith, we have to be born again. We must be born of the Spirit. Now the Lord meets a sinner right at his point of need. That's where he meets the sinner. And he said to the woman at the well, she came there thirsty, with a physical thirst. He said to her, "If you'd ask of me, I'd give you living water." He said to the rich young ruler, he didn't know he was covetous. He thought he'd kept the whole law of God. He said to him, "Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me." That Canaanite woman that came, he was proving the faith that he had given to her. And he said to her, "It's not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs." See, he met them right where their point of need was, and that's what he does right here with Nicodemus. And so we should think about that when we hear the gospel. If we feel the Spirit of God speaking to us, we feel the Lord is moving us, we should really heed that, because he always meets his people at our point of need. And so that's what he did with Nicodemus. He was spiritually dead, and he met him right there where his need was. He didn't answer, he didn't reply to anything Nicodemus said. And this would be a good thing for us to remember. People, when folks come and they're asking questions about things that, you know, that aren't that necessary, or things that aren't the important issue, this is a good place to meet them right here. Somebody comes speaking contrary to the Word of God, sound like they don't even understand the Scriptures, good place to meet them right here. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, first of all, except we be born again, we can't enter into that which is spiritual. And everything about the Lord and the gospel and the Scriptures is spiritual. His kingdom's spiritual. Nicodemus was in religion. He was a ruler. He was a Pharisee, a strict adherent to the law. But he saw Christ's miracles. He's one of those that the chapter spoke of right before there at the end, where he saw the miracles and he was impressed with those miracles. But it was just the outward. That's all it was. And so the Lord met him right here where he needed to be met. He needed to be born again. Now, by our first birth, we're dead. And that's all we are, is dead. Dead in sin, guilty in Adam, conceived in sin, have a sin nature. We don't have spiritual discernment. And the things of God are not carnal. The things of God are not carnal, they're spiritual. Look over at 1 Corinthians 2. You can hold your place there because I'm going to come back at the end. But 1 Corinthians 2, 9, true worship is in spirit. True worship's in spirit. And when you're born of God, you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. You're in a whole new realm. You're in the spirit. And he says here, verse 9, as it's written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Look at this illustration. What knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, we preach. We preach these things, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. Why don't we preach like the world preaches? Why do we look at the Scriptures and compare Scripture to Scripture? Because we're not interested in the world's, what they're interested in. We want to hear what God says. And he says here, so we preach that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But now watch this. The natural man, that's what Nicodemus was at this time, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, you that's been born of God, you discern all things. And yet you yourself are discerned of no man. No natural man understands when you speak these things. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that the Lord might instruct him? How are you going to know what the Lord's going to instruct you, lest he gives you his Spirit and teaches you what his mind is? That's what we have, brethren. We have the mind of Christ. He's given us of his Spirit so we can understand the things of God. What a blessing to know God and understand and worship God in spirit and in truth. That's grace. Now, secondly, go back to our text in John 3. Only God can make a sinner be born again. He's the only one that can do this. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, this is what a spiritually dead sinner always does. We did this when we were dead in sin. When you heard the gospel, you immediately looked to yourself, what you must do. You went to this word looking for something you must do. And that's what he did. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He only heard something carnal and only thought of carnal and thought the way you do this was just in a temporal way. He couldn't understand it. The carnal man only sees carnal things. He only understands temporal things. He can't understand spiritual things. But the new birth's not of us. It's of God. It's entirely of God. Look here in verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Can't enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now the new birth is a must. It's a necessity. This is one of those except ye's that Christ gave, but it's all of God. He's the one that has to do it. We're at the mercy of God. This is why sinners, why false preachers don't preach the truth of being born of God. They put it in a person's hand and make it to be by walking an aisle or praying through, or there's some part of it you do to make yourself be born again. But being born again is of God. We're at the mercy of God to make us to be born again. Salvation is all by grace, entirely by grace. A sinner can't have life except God give him spiritual life. We can't, even after we have spiritual life, we can't understand and know things unless the Spirit of God teaches us. Salvation's of the Lord. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. He chose his people by grace, not based on anything in his people. When Christ came, he accomplished the redemption of his people. He justified his people. He made his people righteous by his blood. And that was by his grace, freely. And so everybody he saved, everybody he died for, who's righteous, must be born of God. And if we can't do it, and we can't, then that means it must be of God. God has to come to us in mercy and regenerate us and make us be born of God. And here's why that's a necessity. Like begets like. Look here in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit, spirit. Flesh begets flesh, that's all. When Adam, after he fell into sin, his nature was corrupted. So what's he going to produce? He's going to produce a corrupt sinner. And the scripture says, Adam begat a son in his own likeness after his image. He begat a son just like him. To be born of flesh is to be born of Adam's corrupt seed, to be conceived in sin. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me from my father, all the way back to Adam, so that what was formed in the womb was a sinner, shapen in iniquity, grew in iniquity, came forth in iniquity, walked all my days in iniquity. And all my flesh is now is iniquity. It's sin. That which is flesh, and that's all it is and all it'll ever be. But God's only worshipped in spirit. He's only worshipped in spirit. The flesh is of no profit. Look over at John 4. Look at verse 23. This woman at the well was talking about worshiping in an earthly mountain, an earthly city. The Lord said, verse 23, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Look at John 6, verse 63. The Lord said, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and are life. They're spirit and they're life. If we're going to hear, we're going to know, it's going to have to be by Christ speaking, the Spirit of God entering in and making us to worship God in spirit. This is why Paul said, we're the circumcision. These are ones been born of God, spiritually circumcised, who are true Jews. We're the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. And when you worship God in spirit, you rejoice in one, in Christ Jesus the Lord. You look to Christ. You trust Christ. You speak of Christ. Christ is the head. He's our righteousness. He's our redemption. He's our teacher. He's our prophet, priest, and king. Everything we're going to have is of Christ, everything we're going to learn is of Christ, and everything we're going to be conformed to is of Christ. He's all in this thing. And so we worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. We don't have confidence in the flesh. Now that's a perfect way to be, is to not have, but we far often have too much confidence in the flesh. But true worshipers, we worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ, and we don't have confidence in the flesh. Nothing you do in your flesh is going to contribute to your salvation. And it's not going to take anything away from your salvation. So God the Holy Spirit has to beget a new Holy Spirit in order for us to worship God in spirit. The Lord said, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll put my spirit in you, the Lord said. And when he does, he says, I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. I'm going to cause you to hear my word and believe on my son. I'm going to cause you to hear every word I speak that teaches you how to love one another. And you're going to love one another. And you're going to know him and you're going to follow him. So the new spirit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is formed in us. The old man's flesh after Adam, the new man's after God. The old man is born of natural generation, the new man's created by supernatural regeneration. The old man is fleshly, he's a partaker of Adam's sinful nature. The new man is a partaker of the divine nature. Created, wasn't there before, created in God's image. The righteousness and holiness of Christ. So Paul said of his old fleshly nature, he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in my sinful nature, dwells nothing good. But then he turned right around and he said, but if the Spirit of Christ is in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit's life because of righteousness. So there's an old man and a new man, and that which is flesh, and that which is spirit, but that which is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We're one with Christ. Never to be separated. Never, he'll never take his spirit from us. He'll never let us be separated from him. Ever. Ever. Now look at this last thing. And this is so important. This last thing. This new birth's irresistible. It's irresistible. He said in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. The wind blows where it will. Wherever the wind's pleased to blow, that's where it blows. We can't tell where it's coming from. We can't tell where it's going. And we can't do anything about it. We can't stop it. It's coming as it will. It's leaving as it will. It does what it will. That's the point. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. We're born of an irresistible power. It's the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he comes in, the sinner can't resist his spirit. When he's pleased to enter in and create a new life, a new man, we can't stop that. Thankfully, we can't stop him. When he's pleased to produce fruit, we can't stop him. When he's pleased to grow us, we can't stop him. But he's the one that does it. He's the one that has to give you life. He's the one that has to grow you. He's the one that has to guide you. He's the one that has to lead you. It's the Spirit, and he does it irresistibly by his will. Look over at Ezekiel 37 and look at verse 1. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Ezekiel 37:1. He carried me out, and the Spirit of the Lord set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? What would you have said? You saw a bunch of old dry, white, bleached bones. Well, brethren, that's how impossible it is for you and me to live. We're just that dead by nature. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, preach to these bones. That's why we preach. He said, preach to them, prophesy to them, and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I've heard men say, you can't tell sinners to hear the word of the Lord, because nobody can hear without the Spirit. You can't tell them to believe on Christ. They can't do it without the Spirit. The Lord told Ezekiel, you tell them to hear. Preach the word and tell them to hear. And look, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I preached as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was still no breath in them. And then said he unto me, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, the life of God, and they lived. And they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. And then he said to me, now here's the lesson, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This is God's elect people. This is who he's calling out wherever they are. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we're cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I'll cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. He said that again. He said it before. He said it again. You're going to know by this work, you're going to know I'm the Lord. When I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Why do we preach the message we preach? You know, natural man, he just naturally thinks you can't tell a sinner that he can't be born again. He won't do anything if you tell him that. We don't want him to do anything. We don't want him to do anything till God gives him life and makes him live. But that's why we preach this. That's why. Why do you shut a sinner up and say salvation's of the Lord, it's not of man? Why do you say redemption's of Christ, it's not of our works? Why do you say we must be born of God if we can't make ourselves be born of God? Why do we preach that salvation is entirely of the Lord, A to Z? Go over to 1 Corinthians 2 and we'll end with this. Here's why we preach it. 1 Corinthians 2. What did our Lord say there? Three or four times in Ezekiel 37. He said, when I've done this work, then you're going to know I'm the Lord. The Lord has a way, brethren, in the new birth, in redemption, in teaching us, in providence, and what he does. He has a way of making us know he's the one that did it. We didn't do it. He has a way of doing that. Making you know he did it. We didn't do it. And he says here, 1 Corinthians 2, 1, I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. I wasn't trying to make this thing palatable to you. I wasn't trying to say things that would make you want to receive it. And I just preached it. Just preached the truth. Look, for I determined not to know anything among you. I didn't want to know things that was going on among you. I didn't want to deal with your problem, your daily thing. Here's what I came preaching. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because that's the answer. That's how we're going to be made obedient, to hear Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's how we were brought to his feet in the first hour. That's how we're continually brought to it, hearing about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Look here. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And here's why. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's why the Lord told Ezekiel, now you go preach to these dead, dry bones and tell them to live. And I will do everything. I will breathe into them. I will give them life. I'll bring them together. Why? Because that's how they're going to know I'm the Lord. That's how they're going to know I did this. That's how they're going to know salvation's of me. And they're going to be brought to glorify me. And Paul said, that's why we preach Christ crucified. Look over at 2 Corinthians 4. He says this again over there. And only when you've experienced this do you know it's so. And we forget it. We forget it. We had to be taught over and over and over. I was talking to somebody this week, and they said about how fast they forget. And we do. We do. But look at this. If we've experienced it, Verse 1, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, that means we have received mercy. And it's by that mercy we don't faint, but by the way we receive that mercy, by this power we're talking about, that's how come we don't faint, by the power of God. And this is why we know, somebody said to Spurgeon, why don't you just preach to the elect? And he said, if they had an E on them, I would, but they don't. You just preach. But that day when the Lord sent Ezekiel to preach in that valley, not every bone in the whole world arose, just the bones in that valley. The Lord knows where his people are. He knows who his people are. He knows how to bring his gospel to his people. He knows how to quicken his people and give his people life. And he said here, if you receive this mercy, if you know this power, you won't faint. But you've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully. We're not trying to take the offense out of the cross, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Because God, here's why we do this. This is why we ourselves know this power and why we preach the way we do. And this is why we do it, in that we know God will do this for his people. Because God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What, isn't that smart? Isn't that wise of God to put this treasure in these earthen vessels with no power, to just have us go forth and preach this word and call his people out this way? Why? Because this is how we know the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. And so the Lord said, you got to be born of God. You must be, except you be. You can't enter into these things. Everybody he redeemed shall be born of the Spirit of God. They must be. They've been redeemed. They've been justified. They've been made righteous. They have to be born of God. They have to be brought to faith in Christ, because they're going to be saved in Christ. And so he's going to do that to all his people. And it's all his power and all his glory. That's why we preach the truth. He's going to do this work. He's going to do this work. All right, brethren, let's stand together. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that you've not left us to ourselves. Thankful, Lord, you didn't leave any part of the salvation of your people in our hands. Lord, make us to know the power of your Spirit. Make us to know just how true this gospel is and just how effectually you're working in the hearts of your people. And Lord, we ask you today that you would cause this word to go forth and quicken one of these dry bones. And Lord, make your child hear this gospel and rejoice in Christ. Make us to see that this salvation is all of you, all of your grace, all of your mercy in Christ. And Lord, if we need to be taught, if we need to be corrected, if we need to be brought down, or if your child is cast down and they need to be comforted and lifted up in spirit, Lord, you can do that. And we ask you. We ask you to keep us. We ask you to guide us. We ask you to turn us. We need your presence, and we need you to work this work in the heart of your people. Lord, we thank you. We pray now that you would help us to remember these things and help us to enter into worship in the second hour. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Forgive us of having confidence in our flesh. Lord, keep us looking to Christ only. We ask it in his precious name. Amen.